Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of the people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution Radio. Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the internet. Please help support this station so this battle can continue forward. Revolution Radio!
Funeral. It is sad to think that sooner or later those you love will do the same for you. And you may have thought it tragic, not to mention other adjectives, to think of all the weeping they will do. But don't you worry, no more ashes, no more sackcloth, and an armband made of black cloth will someday nevermore adorn a sleeve. For if the bomb that drops on you gets your friends and neighbors too, there'll be nobody left behind to grieve, and we will all go together when we go. What a comforting fact that is to know. Universal bereavement, an inspiring achievement. Yes, we all will go together when we go. Suffused with an incandescent glow. No one will have the endurance to collect on his insurance. Lloyd's of London will be loaded when they go. We will all fry together when we fry. We'll be French fried potatoes by and by. There will be no more misery when the world is our rotisserie. Yes, we all will fry together when we fry. We will all bake together when we bake. There'll be nobody present at the wake. With complete participation in that grand incineration, nearly 3 billion hunks of well-done steak. We will all char together when we char. And let there be no moaning of the bar. Just sing out a te deum when you see that ICBM, and the party will be come as you are.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where I just discovered a most intriguing publication by Mike Adams of Natural News. Situation update, November 30th. Is Biden preparing to concede? Now, I haven't heard this. I just discovered it. But let's see what he has to say, if I can get this to play and make an assessment.
All right. It's November 30th, Monday. It is Monday. It's Cyber Monday, come to think of it. This is Mike Adams, Health Ranger here with Natural News. I have a situation update for you today. So strap on your special spelunking shorts. We are going to go deep diving with your LED headlight into dark caverns. Yes, that's right. We're going caving today down the rabbit hole. And our first stop in this deep, dark cave is none other than GNews, gnews.org, where you've probably seen videos from the main reporter there, Guo. It's called Luda Media, or in English, people say lewd, but it's actually Luda, L-U-D-E. And he says that a very reliable source has informed him of something that I'm about to tell you. But I'm just going to preface that by saying I heard this from another source, I think a day ago, and I discounted it because it sounded too outlandish. And so I present it to you here as something that I've heard now from one other source that's completely unrelated to GNews, and then now I'm hearing it from GNews, which is, you know, has a lot of close ties to Rudy Giuliani and I think maybe the Steve Bannon's team and so on. And they got their hands on the Hunter Biden hard drive, it seems, before anybody else. They've broken a lot of news about the Bidens. Okay, so GNews seems to have some very good sources. But I have to preface all that because I'm about to tell you, most people won't believe it. I'm not even sure if I believe it yet. So let's put this in the category of not yet proven. But here it is. He says that Joe Biden has approached Mitch McConnell, the Senate leader, to discuss terms of surrender, basically, knowing that massive evidence is coming. And I'll explain why he knows that. Well, basically, because, of course, elements of the Kraken team, 305th Battalion, military intelligence team, and so on, they've no doubt already presented little tidbits to the Biden team. Is like, we have you, we've got you. You're going down, you're going to prison, and we're going to win this thing. It's just a matter of time. The machinery is cranking along here. We've got your servers. We took them from Frankfurt, you know. We shot your CIA officer there, took some casualties ourselves, which, by the way, Sidney Powell seems to have confirmed that as well today. And we got your servers, and we are here, we've got everything on you. So according to this tip, I don't know what you want to call it, this leak, this information, Joe Biden is ready to concede. And he wants absolute legal immunity for himself and his family members. And he wants to be able to keep all the money that he got from communist China and Ukraine and so on. And he wants immunity. And he wants to stay out of jail. He wants to stay out of Gitmo. Okay. Now, according to the information that's out there about this right now, the White House is considering whether to accept this. Because, you know, again, they've already got Biden by the balls, so to speak. They've got him. They can put him behind bars. Should they take this deal and have Biden concede? Well, if Biden were to concede, it wouldn't be offering protection to all the other people that would be exposed in the Democrat Party, the other crooks and treasonous actors, people like John Brennan and Barack Obama, for example. It's a pretty long list, but that just gives you a taste. So those people would not want Joe Biden to concede. They would tell him, you know, stay in there and keep fighting. You better not concede. And Joe Biden himself is more like, he's just out for himself. He just wants to not go to jail. He wants to keep his money. He never really expected to be in the White House. He knew the whole campaign was fake, right? He knows that he wasn't even there at the acceptance speech, his own acceptance speech. You know, it was all filmed in advance. It's all teleprompter stuff. He knows the whole thing's fake. He just wants to be able to, you know, squirm away with his bank account and not end up behind bars. Well, what happens in the Democrat Party when you're a member of that and you don't do what high-level Democrats want you to do? What happens to you? Huh. Well, let's look at interesting history. John McCain, who is, of course, was a Democrat. I mean, okay, you think he had an R beside his name, and he did, but he was actually a Democrat deep state operative, okay, pretending to be a rhino. He wasn't even a rhino. He was pretending to be a rhino. John McCain, if you go back a few years, guess what? His foot was in a medical boot. His foot was in a medical boot because of some excuse about some injury. And John McCain was one of the key people that handed over the Steele dossier, even helped get it produced, and handed that over to the FBI in order to try to frame President Trump. John McCain was an enemy of America, a treasonous actor. Okay. Now, that piece of information by itself may not mean much yet. Hold on. Joe Biden, according to the mainstream media today, Joe Biden fractured his ankle. He's going to have to be put in a medical boot. He fractured his ankle doing what? Oh, walking his dog. Okay, so now we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden was out walking a dog. That's hilarious all by itself, but continue with me here. Former Senate Majority Harry Reid, prominent Democrat, piece of filth, criminal, treasonous actor involved in the Nevada land grab deals that resulted in uranium mining through Uranium One to provide uranium via Robert Mueller and the Clinton Foundation to Russia for processing and then fuel to Iran to build nuclear weapons funded by Barack Obama in his massive payouts to Iran that are a matter of public record here. Harry Reid was part of that whole scheme. Remember when Harry Reid showed up with a giant black eye? I mean, like someone just bashed the crap out of his face. He had a big black eye, and then he had a patch over his eye for a long time, bruised up cheekbone and everything. Remember that? It wasn't that long ago, just a couple of years ago. And that was before he resigned, well, or left office, I should say. Remember what the excuse was for that? It was stated that he had been exercising with those exercise bands, you know, the kind that you strap to your door, and then, you know, you have resistance bands with little handles. He said that the exercise bands malfunctioned and it hit him in the eye. Okay. All right. So Joe Biden likes to walk dogs, and Harry Reid uses like Walmart exercise bands on his bathroom door. Okay. All right. Amazing. Now then, Cindy McCain was just photographed recently with a medical boot on her foot. Okay. And she's being considered for an ambassador position in the so-called Biden administration. And by the way, it's Dr. Kevin O'Connor that says that Joe Biden's going to need to be in a medical boot. Now, just to backtrack a little bit, when you're Joe Biden and you're trying to make a deal to concede, to save your own skin, but you're willing to throw the other members of the Democrat Party under the bus, those members of the Democrat Party, they have a long history of things like body bags. They are the kind of people that break your ankles to convince you to do what they want you to do. They are the kind of people to break your knees. They are the kind of people to bash you in the face or to kill you. Just ask Vince Foster. Oh, wait, you can't. He's dead. And there's about 57 other people who are also dead, who used to be Clinton business partners and Clinton attorneys and Clinton security guards and so on. They are all no longer living. So there's no question that the Democrat Party is capable of doing this kind of thing. Now, remember how we've been talking about rendition flights recently? Rendition flights, you know, where the good guys, special forces units, extract somebody that is a traitor and put them on a charter flight and then, you know, aggressively ask them questions over international waters on the way to Cabo. Questions like, hey, do you recognize these names and these bank account transactions from Communist China to your family's corporate shell company or whatever? And people tend to cooperate pretty quickly on those rendition flights. People also tend to cooperate when you start breaking their ankles. And I'm not saying that this is for sure what's happening right now, but this excuse that Joe Biden was out walking his dog, that's BS. That's BS. And no, Harry Reid doesn't use exercise bands in his bathroom. And all these other people that show up with weird injuries and medical boots, there's kind of a pattern here. There are enforcers in the Democrat Party, and they keep their people in line. That's all I'm saying. But I guess we'll find out soon how this goes down. Now, just theoretically then, because we don't know if this rumor is yet true, we don't know. But theoretically, should Trump take the deal if that deal exists? And the answer is actually, believe it or not, yes. The reason why is because Joe Biden conceding would take away a lot of power from the radical left and their attempt to launch a Bolshevik revolution. Remember what I said maybe a week ago, that the globalists want the Democrats to get caught because the globalists want Trump to win in the courts and to take the White House, because only with Trump in the White House can the global controllers, can they then claim that Trump stole the election and then launch their Bolshevik-style revolution and try to overthrow the entire country and destroy not just Trump, but the White House, the Constitution, the entire structure of government. That's what they want to do, really, is wipe out the Republic. Well, if Joe Biden agrees to concede in exchange for a pardon, then it takes away from the leftists that Bolshevik revolution excuse. They can't claim that Trump stole the election if Joe Biden goes out and concedes. So this is why Trump should probably take that deal, even though Joe Biden and his family members obviously are traitors and probably deserve to be charged with treason and subjected to, you know, military tribunals and whatever happens there. But for the sake of the country, if Biden would concede, we could prevent a tremendous amount of bloodshed, i.e. we wouldn't have to shoot as many Bolshevik left-wing revolutionaries. We wouldn't have to shoot as many, because there wouldn't be that many trying to rise up. And frankly, all of us who are patriots and friends of mine, you know, who are military veterans and so on, nobody wants to do a lot of shooting here. If it's necessary to defend your nation, plenty of people are willing to do it, but that's not their first choice. If there's a way to get the radical left to back down, to chill out, and to not launch a revolution so that we don't have to shoot them all, that's a much preferred solution. So that's why I would hope that Trump would consider this, if indeed this is what's happening. Maybe it's just a rumor. You know, lately, a lot of these rumors have become fact in, you know, 24 hours or so. So watch carefully as this unfolds. And by the way, I've been talking about the betting sites. I still haven't placed a bet because I don't have time.
Let me say, that's a pretty damn fascinating report from Mike Adams, the health ranger. I like Mike. He was the most responsive when my book, my collaborative research, Nobody Died at Sandy Hook, was banned by Amazon.com. Mike Adams by far took the most interest. He interviewed three articles, including an interview with me about it, and he published a lot. I contrast that with, Project Censored out in Sonoma State in California. By the end of the year, though it was the biggest event, biggest form of censorship all year about a major issue, they didn't publish a word about it. I would eventually write and ask him, and he basically said he didn't notice. He didn't know what had happened there. How idiotic is that? How idiotic is that? I'm very pleased that I was forwarded this email, Mike Adams report, because it's certainly intriguing on multiple grounds. Let me include that I had separately included for today, did Biden get an ankle bracelet? I got an email from a friend. What's cracking? Joe Biden reportedly strained his right ankle, and ankle bracelets are always fitted to the right foot with the inevitable boot. Why would Biden be walking? I draw on my 30 years in a hospital administration to tell you a suspected foot fracture always requires a wheelchair. Was Biden fitted with an ankle bracelet while the media covered the story as an injury in Great Falls Dog Park? Those are very interesting questions. Another issue for me, however, is who's going to be making the concession? A lot of you are aware that this research I've done about the fact that during the debates, it was not Joe Biden, but a body double who appeared. And I've since received, you know, a wonderful comparison photographs making it very clear. So I republished my earlier piece, which was entitled Joe Biden versus Debate Biden, Just Not the Same Guy, with a new title and a new featured image, the real Joe Biden versus actor Joe Biden, the real Joe Biden, deep state traitor and pedophile, actor Joe Biden, comedy genius, secretly saving America. I mean, this is really interesting stuff. So who's making the deal? The real Joe Biden or the actor? I mean, it's perverse. I like what Mike Adams was saying there in the sense that if Biden were to concede the election, it would be very, very desirable to simplify the situation politically, not have to go to the Supreme Court, which I believe is the ultimate destiny now. But I just don't see these people having the kinds of principles that would lead them to concede, although what Mike Adams is suggesting, namely that this guy is just self-serving, just wanting to do what would benefit he himself. But I'm telling you, it's pretty far out. I find it very, very interesting, but it's pretty far out. We'll see. We'll see. I mean, they all deserve to be flown down to Gitmo. I understand, in fact, they do a lot of interrogation on the flight down. And if they become cooperative and provide evidence about other participants higher up on the food chain, they may even turn the plane around. There's a lot going on, in my opinion, a lot going on. And I do believe that the president laid a trap and that the Democrats and the Dominion and the mainstream media and their allies and the social media giants and the tech giants have all just fallen right into it. If I read the situation right, and I'm not infallible, but I tell you, my sense of this thing is that the Donald anticipated what was coming. He knew they would make the effort. He laid it out in this executive order of 12 September 2020 that if, against measures to be taken against any foreign interference in an American election, given how much the Democrats had been complaining about Russiagate and their allegations of Russian interference, how could they object? Because he was laying it out in great detail and specificity that if there were any foreign intervention, that the government would have rather sweeping powers to seize their assets, to prosecute their personnel with very severe penalties. And interestingly, it extended not only to the actual theft of the election using the Dominion software, which happens to be based in Canada, and the Scylla tabulators, which are based in Spain, but were the actual servers that I understand were under the control of the CIA, that Gina Haspel was very deeply involved in all of this, were located in Frankfurt, Germany, and where it would appear, I've heard two different locations. One was a CIA safe house. The other was the U.S. Embassy. But if it was a safe house, presumably it would have had to have been maybe inside the embassy territory. It would need to be on American territory, which, of course, embassies are worldwide recognized to be the territory of the nations they represent. So to me, it's very plausible that the seizing of the servers took place without the notification of Angela Merkel, because as soon as you start consulting with the German government about making such a seizure, your cover is blown. They have spies all over the place. So I think that it had to take place on American soil but that Trump really had anticipated all of this. Now, I find this totally fascinating, and I would certainly like to believe it's true. Mind you, the evidence of the theft of the election is simply overwhelming, but you would expect that the Democrats would try to drag it out, do all kinds of evasions, even though my best estimate would be that there are actually two avenues, two ways in which Trump could win. You have the Rudy Giuliani, Jenna Ellis approach with each of the states and their legislatures, where there have been hearings in these various states about the massive graft and corruption and voter fraud and manipulation and the kicking out the observers and all that sort of thing, and the ballot dumps and the whole bit, that could convince the state legislatures themselves to do what the Constitution delegates them to do, namely determine the manner in which the electors shall be selected and select the electors, where the legislatures in most of these states are Republican. And alternatively, make its way up to the Supreme Court, given the massive fraud under the 14th Amendment. There's a constitutional issue here of whether all American citizens are being treated equally under the law, where the preferential treatment given to Democrat voters and Democrat votes was completely different than the discriminatory attitude given to Republican voters and Republican votes, which makes this a constitutional issue where the Supreme Court could nullify the election and, in accordance with the Constitution, send it to Congress, where the House would vote to select the president, the Senate, the vice, where the process in the House, each state would get one vote. There are 50 states. The Democrats only control 23, the Republicans 26, in which case Donald Trump is returned to the White House, which I believe is how it will play out, absent a concession of the kind we've just heard from Mike Adams. We'll be right back.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, and we'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We did not engage in conflict that was out of line with our mission.
Is it disloyalty? Is it sedition? Is it treason to oppose the hands of tyranny? Never!
I will never send troops anywhere on a mission of that kind without telling them that if somebody shoots at them, they can darn well shoot back.
I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty! Oh, give me!
A dark cloud is finally lifting across the world as U.S. military intelligence and their global partners are destroying the deep state criminal power structure that has ruled over our planet for hundreds of years.
We are free with the God-given right, and we shall not yield that right to any power on earth.
Hi, I'm Scott McKay. The world is at, and I am your host on The Tipping Point. on Revolution Radio, where every Monday from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, we bring you the latest in this ensuing takedown of this global criminal empire.
That's an image of strength.
You'll get the raw, hard truth here on The Tipping Point. So come join us Mondays, 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern, in Studio B at revolution.radio.
¿Cómo va? This is Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. I pulled some strings and gotten you front row seats to my new show, The Perfect Triangle. Live Friday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Revolution Radio Studio A. The Perfect Triangle is equilateral, three sides of the same length. In an angry, bipolar world, three perfect sides reveal many truths.
Body, mind, and spirit.
Thought, word, and deed.
Conspiracy, propaganda, and truth.
Natural health, allopathic tyranny, and your body.
Freedom, globalism, and sovereign nations.
And so much more. Each week, the Perfect Triangle will blast through fake news lies, champion the natural way and natural law, unravel the Orwellian deceptions of our corrupt government, reveal the satanic evil of globalist banks and transnational corporations. Tune in every Friday, 6 p.m. Eastern, to Revolution Radio Studio A for thoughtful discussions with free thinkers. Your calls are always welcome. The Perfect Triangle, with Giuseppe from the District of Criminals. Join me, won't you?
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, I've just discovered a pretty interesting post by one of my best commentators on my blog, Will, who was reporting about a remarkable list from the Federalist, the Spectator, in Dr. Navid Kashiva's NIA that absolutely shows how impossible it was for Biden to win. This guy, Kashiva Naya, was described by the New York Times years ago as the smartest guy in the room. I've actually got stories by him or about him and his analysis of the theft of the election in my lineup for today. But this looks very interesting, so I want to add it to the mix. J.B. Shirk, who frequently publishes American Thinker, which, by the way, is quite good, wrote a knockout article for The Federalist about Joe Biden's magical performance in the election. You should read the whole article, but here are four things that don't pass the smell test. One, Biden allegedly got 8 million votes, which is more than Obama received at his peak in 2008. And Biden did this despite losing minority voters to Donald Trump and trailing Trump in voter enthusiasm, overwhelmingly, I would add. Two, Biden broke 60 years of precedent by winning nationally despite losing prodigiously in bellwether states and counties. The last time this happened was when the mafia got the vote out for JFK in 1960. I dispute that to a degree, but it's incidental here, so we don't need to pursue it. Three, Trump had extraordinary coattails, so much so that even the New York Times admitted that the Democrats suffered crushing down-ballot losses across America. Think about that. Biden had no coattails and no enthusiasm, yet he allegedly won a record number of votes. Smells fetid to me. Well, I think the fact that the Republicans did so well with the down-ballots is proof that the top of the ballot was fraudulent. You know, I mean, they put all these ballots in for Joe Biden without bothering to cast any further down the ballot, so that with regard to 27 contested seats in the House, the Republicans won all 27. There were even seats that were leaning blue. So when Nancy Pelosi declared there was going to be a blue wave, You might have thought she was talking out of her head, but it appears that her chief of staff is a chief executive officer for Dominion, so she knew it was rigged to give Joe Biden this massive surge. Where it turns out that both Bill Gates and Dianne Feinstein's husband are major investors in Dominion. Small, tight circle here, but Dominion falls within the scope of Trump's plan with that executive order because it's based in Canada. Meanwhile, four, Biden barely made it through the primaries while Trump soared, with Trump's performance being an historically sure sign of voter enthusiasm and probable victory. Yet Biden again allegedly scored an equally historical strong victory in the general election. But of course, that's just further proof the whole thing was totally fabricated. Meanwhile, at The Spectator, Patrick Basham, a professional pollster, also felt that Biden's alleged win cannot pass the smell test. Again, this is a summary, so you should read the original article. So it goes on with the count. Five, Trump exceeded his original vote count by the largest margin for any incumbent of American history. He got 10 million more votes than before. By contrast, Obama in 2012 got 3.5 million fewer votes than in 2008. That's pretty damn interesting. Six, Trump's support among blacks grew by 50%, while Biden's fell below the important 90% mark that Democrat candidates need to secure victory. These are very good points. Seven, in the Rust Belt, Biden lost black support everywhere except in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. In those cities, every single black person apparently voted for Biden. Now, as Richard Charnin, the brilliant statistician, long ago explained to me, if you're going to steal election, you have to steal it where the votes are. And obviously, in these major urban areas, Detroit, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee, that's where the votes are. And look at that stunning difference. Yes, he was getting a tremendous amount of support from blacks, except blacks in Detroit, Philadelphia, and Milwaukee. That's another very, very nice point. Eight, while pollsters can and do manipulate polling outcomes, non-polling metrics, historical norms such as the economy, enthusiasm, etc., have never been wrong, except this year, we're told, was the exception. Then there are the indicia of fraud that Dr. Naveen Kharishavnia details. Nine, the fact that Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia simultaneously pretended to halt ballot counting while continuing to count is evidence of election fraud collusion. Yes, a conspiracy. 10, optical scanners were set to accept unverified, unvalidated ballots. Yes, completely inappropriate if the election were honest. 11, the scanners were almost certainly programmed to fail to keep audit records. Yes, so you couldn't tabulate. 12, in the contested states, the voting machines were alleged to have processed hundreds of thousands of ballots within a short time, which is a physical impossibility. I'd say, yes, it was a technical impossibility. They actually couldn't operate the machines that rapidly. And here are a few more indications of fraud. 13, in Pennsylvania, statistically impossible numbers of late arriving mail-in votes went to Biden. 14, Dominion and ES&S voting machines were created to have back doors and specific functions to manipulate votes either at the machine or over the internet. Yes. 15, Fox News behavior on election night, refusing to call pro-Trump outcomes while prematurely calling Arizona for Biden, was so abnormal that Vegas odds makers instantly assumed the fix was in. There's a very fine article about the odds makers in Vegas who still are refusing to pay out on my blog at jamesfetzer.org. It's just interesting how every conceivable direction you could approach this issue leads to the conclusion that there was massive fraud. Of course, for the very good reason that there was massive fraud. 16, the allegedly late arriving mailed-in ballots increased Biden's equally alleged lead with statistically impossible perfection and stability. 17, there were anomalies in Virginia that suggested computers were subtracting votes from Trump and sometimes at least giving them to Biden. Yes, there's a lot of vote switching going on. In fact, we have videos of this Eric Coomer, who is a chief of security for Dominion, giving lectures about how the machines can be used to switch votes and delete ballots. I mean, he was lecturing on this as being a benefit of Dominion machines. 18. One analysis shows that voting machines in Michigan systematically removed votes from Trump and handed them to Biden. I saw a rebuttal, which I cannot locate now. Remember, this is Will writing, that purported to debunk this, but did so by using a different scale on the x-axis, which I found inherently suspicious. 19. Over 100,000 Pennsylvania absentee ballots were returned either a day after they were mailed out or on the day they were mailed out or even the day before they were mailed out. I mean, that's pretty good. U.S. Postal System performing miracles. 20. In all the contested areas and at Dominion's website, Democrats have been systematically failing to create or have destroyed all the data that could be used to demonstrate fraud. This presents the legal presumption that the data do, in fact, show fraud. To me, this is Will, the fraud is undeniable. The state Supreme Courts can throw it all out, but when it gets to SCOTUS, I see no way they can deny the 14th Amendment has not been upheld. SCOTUS will send it to the House, where Trump will win. There can logically be no other outcome. Well, I think that's really quite excellent, and Will is among the very best commentators at jamesfetzer.org, so I'm very pleased to share that. Meanwhile, a Newsmax McLaughlin poll showed two-thirds of the nation backed Trump on the recounts. 67% of likely voters backed Trump's recounts, where the vote margin in his race with Joe Biden is 1% or closer, which applies to states like Georgia, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Arizona. Despite the close contest, 65% of Americans say the election will ultimately be decided honestly. But fully a third of all voters, 35%, said that there was significant fraud. What could ultimately be decided honestly in two different ways if given all the presentations that Rudy and Jenna have been making to the state legislatures, they fulfill their constitutional obligation of determining how the electors for their state should be cast in cast them for Donald Trump, which would be unsurprising because most of these state legislatures are actually Republican. That would be one way you get a finally get an honest outcome. Or, of course, if it goes up to the Supreme Court and the court decides that, in fact, there was this gross violation of the 14th Amendment of equal protection under the law because the Democratic votes were and voters were treated with such preference and the Republican votes and voters with such denigration, which is blatant, the evidence established it, I think, beyond any question, then they could nullify the election and send it back to Congress, where the House would determine the president and the Senate the vice president, and where in the House each state will cast one vote, but there turn out to be 26 that are controlled by Republicans, only 23 by Democrats, where one is split. Meanwhile, this seems to be a very disturbing and high number. This is a 35% who say there's significant fraud. for a country that always prides itself to be the world's leading democracy, said pollster John McLaughlin, who's, in my opinion, an honest guy. The highest level of fraud concerns are among Trump voters at 70% and Republicans at 65%. Here are how the results break down. 94% of Republicans blame most of the voter fraud on the recent election on the Democrats. 6% say Republicans were behind it. 51% of those polls say voter fraud is a problem in Democrat-run cities, compared to 49% who say it's not a problem. Obviously, it's overwhelmingly a problem in Detroit, Milwaukee, and Philadelphia, for example. An overwhelming 90% approve of voter identification laws that make certain every vote cast in an election for president and Congress is cast by a legal citizen who is eligible to vote. I believe in the wake of all this, we'll return to paper ballots and hand counts. I think that's the only method that makes sense. Meanwhile, it appears that some of the more or less mainstream media are trying to break it gently to their followers that this election isn't over, and it may be that Donald Trump emerges victorious. Get this. Much to the dismay of their viewers, CNN's far-left host, Fareed Zakaria, explained President Trump's path to re-election. Zakaria told CNN viewers that our elections are not simply a matter of whoever gets the most votes wins. There are legal and constitutional remedies that could enable Trump to stay in office without actually winning the vote. In other words, there are remedies for Trump to win the election if enough evidence is provided that a massive number of votes were negated by fraudulent or illegal votes, causing lawmakers to reconsider. The system of electing the president is complicated because it was not designed to be directly democratic, he explained, adding, the Constitution calls for states to choose the electors who in turn gather to vote for the president. Over time, states pass laws that ensure their state's popular vote for the presidency would determine the electors, but those are laws, not constitutional obligation. I mean, the Constitution is very clear. It's up to the state legislatures, respectively, to determine in what manner the electors are chosen and sent to the Electoral College. He continues by explaining or describing a hypothetical situation where President Trump is leading in the election until mail-in ballots are counted and Republicans file suit, objecting to tens of thousands of illegally cast votes in states, and Democrats file countersuits, essentially throwing chaos into the election. At that point, legislatures would choose the electors themselves. Here's the worry, he warns viewers. Of the nine states which have been disputed, eight have Republican-led legislatures, adding, if one or more decide that balloting is chaotic and marred by irregularity, they could send what they regard as a legitimate slate of electors, which would be Republican. Democrats may object and file lawsuits. In some of those states, Democrat governors or secretaries of state could send their own slates of electors to Washington. That would add to the confusion, but may well be part of the Republican plan. Now, here's where it gets to the heart of the matter. When Congress convenes on January 6th to tally the electoral vote, there would be challenges to the legitimacy of some electors. It's possible that some Republican members of Congress could decide that disputed states should simply not be counted. Discussing a scenario, for example, where the state of Michigan, being under dispute, winds up not being counted, and it then turns out that neither candidate has 270 votes, causing a deadlock. At that point, the Constitution clearly directs the House that the House of Representatives votes to determine the presidential election, adding, but it does so with each state casting a single ballot. Now for the bad news for CNN viewers. Zakaria explains that there are currently 26 state delegations that are Republican, and 23 Democrat with one tied. So the outcome would be to reelect Donald Trump. I have no doubt that's the right way to go. That would be the appropriate outcome. And I think a method that entails the least violence is the most desirable, where I would like to see this all resolved without having to go into the streets to fight a new American revolution. But I do say, if it comes to it, if they were to inaugurate Joe Biden on 20 January, that would be the trigger. We cannot allow the United States to collapse, to fall into the hands of these monsters who want to do away with our form of government. They have all kinds of measures to abolish the filibuster, to pack the court, to introduce a Green New Deal, particularly if they were to take control of the Senate, which hinges on the two Senate races yet to be determined. So that's roughly where we stand. But you've heard me more than once explain that if it comes to it, we must rise up and retake control of our nation if the court system and the Congress are unable to resolve this in an appropriate fashion that's fair and just to the American people, who overwhelmingly voted their preference for Donald Trump, where the outcome represented a difference on the order of 50 million votes, where Trump appears to have received 73 million, taken 410 electoral votes, and Biden only 23, which is very consistent with our Twitter followers, where Trump has over 90 million and Biden about 16. Meanwhile, this is a very significant development. Johns Hopkins a report claiming that COVID-19 has relatively no effect on deaths. After receiving data on the CDC website, a professor at Hopkins compiled a graph representing percentages of total deaths per age category from early February to early September, which includes the period from before COVID-19 was detected in the U.S. to after infection rates soared. Surprisingly, the deaths of older people stayed the same before and after COVID-19. Since COVID-19 mainly affects the elderly, experts expected an increase in the percentage of deaths in older age groups. However, the increase is not seen from the CDC data. In fact, the percentage of deaths among all age groups remains relatively the same. Meanwhile, Johns Hopkins study mysteriously disappears after it revealed, in spite of COVID, no more deaths in 2020 than in prior years. Johns Hopkins keeps a tracker of COVID cases around the world and the U.S. The site is used to scare people into staying in their homes and shutting off from the real world. So when a study from Johns Hopkins comes out showing no increase in deaths in 2020 related to prior years, the study had to be taken down. The Gateway Pundit reported back in August that according to the CDC, only 6% of all deaths labeled as COVID deaths were solely related to the virus. The remaining deaths had on the average at least 2 to 3 comorbidities present. Remember, Minnesota State Senator Scott Jensen, who's also an MD, reported very early on how he was pressured to assign COVID as the cause of death for a patient who'd already expired without ever having been tested. It was he who also reported that hospitals were getting $13,000 for every patient they admitted as a COVID patient and 39 or 36 for every patient they put on a ventilator. So they had a profit motive. These are not charitable organization, they're for-profit organization, and they had a benefit they would derive from so classifying patients, whether they had COVID or not. Here's more. Genevieve Brion, I regard as a national hero, assistant program director of the Applied Economics Master's Degree Program at Johns Hopkins, critically analyzed the impact that COVID-19 had on U.S. deaths. According to her, the impact of COVID-19 on deaths in the United States can be fully understood by comparing it to the number of total deaths in the country. According to the study, in contrast to most people's assumptions, the number of deaths by COVID-19 is not alarming. In fact, it has relatively no effect on deaths in the United States. Her report says, after retrieving data on the CDC website, she compiled a graph representing the percentages of total death per age category from early February to early September, which includes a period from before COVID-19 was detected in the U.S. to after infection rates soared. Surprisingly, the deaths of older people stayed the same before and after COVID-19. Since COVID-19 mainly affects the elderly, experts had predicted an increase in deaths, percentage of deaths in older age groups. However, and I realize I'm repeating this, but it's so important, this increase is not seen from the CDC data. In fact, the percentage of deaths among all age groups remain relatively the same. What that means is that COVID is not making a causally relevant difference. Whether you have it or not doesn't matter. Lots of people are going to die anyway, after all. This is one of the multiple fallacies involved here, is talking about COVID deaths without comparing them to other categories of death, which are overwhelmingly larger, such as we have about four times as many deaths from the seasonal flu. But where to continue to deceive the American people, the CDC and the WHO have ceased counting flu statistics separate from, but has lumped them together, along with other respiratory deaths, into the COVID category. Here's another report. Reported COVID-19 deaths almost exactly equal to the total decrease in deaths by all other causes. In other words, we're being played for suckers and saps. They're asking us to give up our lives, the most meaningful aspects of our lives, interacting with other people, doing things we enjoy doing, going out to restaurants, to sports events, spending time with our family. We're supposed to wear masks, social distance, and lock down. Why? Because of a non-existent, a non-problematic coronavirus that is being used as a political weapon to destroy America. And by God, we may not let this happen. I am very emphatic that Donald Trump is going to clean sweep here. But if he does not, we must come to save the nation. I'll be right back.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. that time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
Who owns you? If you're not in control, then someone else is. Join me, Ivy West, for Voices on the Wind, Saturday. I discuss government, health, metaphysics, suppressed science, universal mysteries, little-known incredible facts, alternative energies, and even more than you can imagine. Won't you join us on Revolution Radio Saturdays for Voices on the Wind with me, Ivy West.
There are lives in the balance, people under fire, children at the cannons. There are...
Because if your head's in the sand, your tail is a target.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Well, let me be sure to give out the phone number to call in Mitchell if you have questions, would like to talk, 540-352-4452, 540-352-4452. Meanwhile, I have two announcements for you all. The first concerns the False Flags and Conspiracies 2020 conference that will be held this coming Saturday and Sunday. If your mind is now open to the prospect of conspiracies, and I don't imagine anyone here listening to my shows has a closed mind, then you may want to take advantage of the False Flags and Conspiracies 2020 virtual conference, the 5th and 6th of December next weekend. I have organized and will moderate, featuring 24 experts on events like JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, the Boston bombing, the 2020 election, the COVID-19 pandemic, the godfathers of sex abuse, Bill Cosby, Harvey Weinstein, Jeffrey Epstein, staging hate crimes, Jussie Smollett, George Floyd, Bubba Wallace, high-tech censorship, and much more. I have just authorized a 50% discount for the meeting, cutting the pay-per-view from $100 to $50. Check it out. This may be the most important intellectual investment of time and money of your life. Use the discount TRD for the raw deal. False Flags and Conspiracies 2020. Let me point out, you don't have to watch 12 hours a day to absorb it. What you should do is to record it. In other words, use this as an opportunity to take in the parts you're especially interested in while you record the whole thing. Remember, the discount code is TRD, the raw deal. This is really a wonderful opportunity I think you don't want to miss. And if you decide to check it out or to subscribe, go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com, falseflagconspiracies2020.com. Remember, the secret of freedom lies in educating the people, whereas the secret of tyranny lies in keeping them ignorant. I'm doing everything I can to educate the people, because that is indeed the key to our freedom. The other announcement I want to make has to do with the program itself here on Revolution Radio. Coming back, I was happy to have the opportunity to have a show first on Monday, and then on Monday and Tuesday at the same time, 3 to 5 Central Time in the afternoon. But the opportunity has arisen to move this show to Monday, Wednesday, Friday, which spaces it out during the week. So instead of getting a monster load of all the previous week, you can get a delivery of information in 3 different segments during the week, which will begin this Wednesday. But the time is different. It will no longer be from 3 to 5, but from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. So that would be noon to 2 Eastern time and 9 to 11 Pacific for the raw deal. I'm delighted to have learned that on Tuesdays and Thursdays in that same time slot will be Rebecca Carnes. I'm a huge fan of Rebecca. I recommended her for Revolution Radio, and I think that's going to make really quite a marvelous combination throughout the week. So I will be here Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 to 1, starting this Wednesday, 11 to 1 Central, that's noon to 2 Eastern, 9 to 11 Pacific, and Rebecca Carnes on Tuesday and Thursday. That seems to me to be quite a rich variety of resources for all of you, and I hope you'll take advantage. I reiterate, this enables me to give you the news throughout the week as events develop instead of only on Monday and Tuesday. It's a better schedule. I think you will like it, but you might want to mark it down until you get used to it, and I certainly hope that it's going to work for almost all of you in the audience. I very much look forward to that. Meanwhile, we have a caller to the show. I'm going to guess it's someone who is familiar, and indeed I'm right. Paul from California, join us, Paul. Give us your thoughts.
Well, first of all, that would be President-elect Paul from California. I declared myself President-elect by erecting a blue background and putting the words President-elect behind me. So my status is just equal to Joe Biden.
I like it. I like it, Paul.
what a farce
this has become when it's not even the real Joe Biden. My God.
I was actually going to start off the call. Sometimes I have a little Rolodex in my mind of things I want to say, little sayings or questions. And what I was thinking about saying today before I got going was, did you ever think you'd live to see the day when, and just form a list of all the different things that you are seeing today? I mean, it's just, go back to in your mind where you were at in the 70s or the 80s or even the 60s. And, you know, did you ever think at current year you would be witnessing and talking about all the things that are there in front of us right now. It's just, on the one hand, it's entertaining.
It's absolutely, it's stunning. It's absolutely stunning. If you saw this as a movie, you'd find it incredible. You would not believe it.
Well, it looks like one of those dystopic science fiction movies from the future out here in California, because everywhere you go, you see people walking around with masks. Their heads are down. A lot of cases, I see these people out for their walks. Like, in other words, you know, young, middle-aged, even older couples, and they're just going for like a daily walk. And what does it look like? In most cases, they got a mask on, and in most cases, they're thumbing on their phone with their head down as they're walking. And it's just like, it's zombie land. Right now, I was just subjected to the first time I saw on the side of a PG&E truck. And if you know from the work of Deborah Tavares, she says the PG&E is the Rothschild. I'll take her word for it. I haven't done my own work on that. But anyway, the notice on the side of a PG&E truck says, "Be a hero, wear your mask."
Oh, okay? God.
And I don't know if you watched any football over the weekend, but on a couple of different games and a couple of different networks now, Kaiser Permanente, at least out here in California, Kaiser Permanente bought airtime for on a football game commercial where they start out by talking about COVID-19. It's out there and it's real. And what you can do, wear a mask, wash your hands, socially distance, be responsible, little promo commercials on national television. It's disgusting. And of course, Gavin Newsom doesn't seem to be aware that he had a court just rule against him. I have the court decision on my clipboard. If I walk into a business, it's among several pieces of paper I will show to them. I say, okay, were you aware that Gavin Newsom has no authority and the courts have declared it, and here's the decision right here? And I've actually showed this to a couple people going, if I wanted to, I could make a court case and I could enter this into the record as evidence. But apparently Gavin Newsom is not aware of this because he continues to give orders. It's just insane. It's really driving me nuts.
Well, I'm with you, Paul. It is ridiculous beyond belief. I mean, look, on the basis of this totally phony, contrived pandemic, they want to deprive us of everything that's meaningful in our lives. I mean, you know, going out to restaurants, going to sporting events, interacting with other people, having social occasions, a barbecue with friends in your own home, going to visit your own family. They wanted to destroy Thanksgiving. Fauci's out there attempting to destroy Christmas. This guy isn't just the Grinch. This guy is a monster. And as I've observed before, Tony the Rat has done more damage to the United States than all of our foreign enemies combined. Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin, Emperor Hirohito, Anthony Fauci has done more damage to the United States than the three of them combined.
Well, I don't think Adolf Hitler did any damage to the United States, and I don't think he was ever our enemy. But I know why you said what you said. By the way, speaking of Fauci, did you know that there's sites that sell merchandise like T-shirts and coffee mugs with his picture on it?
This is the monumental stupidity of the American people. We are the most poorly educated, the most scientifically illiterate of any major population in the world. It's embarrassing, Paul. It is embarrassing. This man,
by the way,
and all of the others deserve to be swept up in a massive sting operation similar to that which the president appears to have pulled off with the Dominion voting machines. If I read the situation right, there are going to be major changes coming to America as a consequence of all of this. And I will not be surprised if that extends to Big Pharma and the hospital industry, which has been making billions over this phony pandemic when they know better. They know better. We had this claim about all the hospitals being full way back when in the beginning, and citizen journalists went to the hospitals and found, on the contrary, they not only weren't full, they were empty. And they were empty because the patients who would ordinarily have been there were staying away out of concern of being exposed to coronavirus, because they'd been told they were just stacked with coronavirus patients. And now we have an honest study from Johns Hopkins that shows CV or no CV doesn't make a difference. The death rate's the same because they've just been mapping coronavirus on top of all the normal deaths. And now they're not recording flu deaths any longer, but taking any deaths from the flu or from respiratory diseases generally and calling them coronavirus deaths. I mean, this is a monstrous hoax. I used to think, Paul, that the moon landing hoax was the greatest ever perpetrated on the world, but this is far larger and more consequential. The moon landing hoax didn't threaten our life and our survival and our well-being and that of our children and our children's children the way this does. This is a monstrous, and we cannot let it prevail.
Yeah, the thing that this points out to, by the way, is how successful not only their campaign of disinformation has been, but also their ongoing campaign to dumb us down and to undermine our educational system. You have people walking around believing that a county health officer has the authority to tell people what to do or to tell people whether they can open their business or not, and they don't. There is no statutory authority. Even under the Emergency Act, you don't lose any of your constitutional rights. But people just are oblivious to these very simple things. And it just, to me, it's very frustrating to walk around and just have to deal with these, these zombies who in some cases are open to your information, but in most cases they're not. They look at you with glazed eyes. Speaking about frauds, I went over on Saturday night to a buddy's house because he purchased the pay-per-view of Mike Tyson fighting Roy Jones Jr., right? And it was about as you would expect, okay? A couple of guys that were, one time very, very good, but are not anywhere near what they were. They're both in their 50s. Mike Tyson was by far much better shape, and he looked much crisper. But it was basically a joke. It was 8 2-minute rounds, and the whole time Roy Jones Jr., in order to avoid being hit, just kept clutching and grabbing Mike Tyson's arms, for the better part of all 8 rounds. And, it reminded me at the end of what I think of most, politics, okay, is they decided it was a draw and they gave them both a belt. And then Jim Gray, if you know who that is, was interviewing him and asking him, would you do this again? Would you do it again? And they're both going, yeah, maybe we would. Just so setting up the idea that, they would actually fight again. It was a total joke. It was rumored that Mike Tyson was going to walk away with the better part of $10 million. And that Roy Jones Jr. was going to get $3 million for this nonsense. I just couldn't.
Seniors tour, Paul. Hey, did you see a show
called The Goldfish Report with a woman, Louisa, and she sent me a photograph of Michelle Obama walking beside Mike Tyson, and Michelle Obama is bigger and broader across the back than Mike Tyson.
Yeah, well, I'd rather get hit by Michelle Obama than Mike Tyson any day, I'll tell you.
Yeah, Tyson does pack a punch. There's no doubt about it.
Oh, my God.
Mitchell, do we have another caller, Mitchell? Or
yeah,
no?
Chicago Brews on the line. Hey, Paul, did you get to see that YouTuber Jake Paul fought some NBA guy? And they knocked him cold in the third round. So,
yeah, it was really not a fair fight because Jake Paul was a lot bigger and stronger, he was about 13 years younger too.
Yes,
it's a joke. Neither one of them belonged in the ring. Jake Paul would get destroyed by a real trained professional boxer.
He's trying to challenge. Was it Conor McGregor? Or he was talking shit about McGregor. Up and I love to see that fight.
I love it. Let's bring Brew in. Brew, give us your thoughts.
Bring him in. Yeah.
Yeah, Paul. Thanks for bringing me in, Paul. Hey, I'd agree with Paul about Hitler. We've been that's a story that we've been fed a whole bunch of lies about history going with all that, and that's what we're doing today. More lies about history and so on and so forth. This Fauci character, he's the one that introduced AIDS, HIV AIDS in the 80s and changed everybody's, lifestyle then, scared the heck out of everybody back in the 80s. You didn't know, you know, as they pretended they didn't know how you can catch it and whatever. People were afraid to touch each other, kiss each other, sit on toilet seats. You know, people were untold number of people that had unprotected sex, you know, were freaking out. Oh my gosh, did I get it? Oh my gosh. You know, and he changed things using medical and disease back then, and he's doing it again today, and who knows how many countless right. times in between. Because it's they don't just use the military-industrial complex or the political-industrial complex or the FBI, who is the number one, you know, organizational terrorists in the United States, but it's the medical-industrial complex that introduces their own form of terrorism and introduces things that corrupt and designed to change our lives and steal from us. Go ahead.
Change the very nature of the culture and human interaction. And Brew, I remember well in the 80s, you know, dating women, and I swear to God, it really had an effect in the culture. I had multiple times women ask me, would I be willing to take an AIDS test? And even back then, I'd read a little bit about stuff like, you know, Peter Duesberg and so forth, and I didn't really believe. I didn't have the knowledge I do now, but I didn't really believe the whole AIDS thing. And I told a few people that, a couple of women, and, you know, they looked at me like I was crazy. So, yeah.
Well, if you had stock in Trojan condoms back then, you'd been doing pretty darn good.
Yeah. Rue, tell us, how do you think all this is playing out? Did you hear that part I began with Mike Adams suggesting that?
Yeah, I stumbled across your broadcast because I wanted to turn into Mr. Rowe today, and you broadcast in Studio A, so I caught you on a happy accident. But Mike Adams, I don't like Mike Adams. Sometimes he's okay, but you know, Mike Adams was really staunch on pushing the whole COVID operation. He was like, everyone be afraid. It's the worst thing ever. We're all going to die. And that's when him and Alex Jones ended up parting ways for the second or third time. You know, because he's a shill in so many things. One of the reasons I ever caught on to Mike Adams some years ago, the first time that I heard Alex Jones and Mike Adams being a team and he was doing weekly broadcasts, was he always got to use Nazi. They're Nazis. They're racist. They're anti-Semites. Those are his keywords. Those are his fallback words. And whenever people start to use those words in their debate or their argument or whatever they're trying to push, that means they got nothing better to say. So they use those things, Nazi, anti-Semite, and, you know, so on and so forth, racist. And he loves to do that. Now, when he's talking today, did you hear him in his thing? But it's okay that, you know, even if all this was true, Jim, because you know what? I'm having all of my doubts just scrambled up because I got to always reassess this stuff. I don't ever stick to a line and stay there and believe. I collect, and it often pushes me into a point where I got to take what I've collected and reassess it from past history, from what's going on today, and so on and so forth. And Mike Adams, let's just say everything is true today, what's going on. He wants, well, it's okay. We should just let Joe Biden go and all the crimes he's ever committed and all the sick stuff and take the money and go because it's just much better. Well, that's Mike Adams, the Bolshevik. Yeah. Mike Adams, the high council Zionist. That's Mike Adams for you. I don't trust Mike Adams, period. He's okay, but he's just like Gordon Duff. He gives you that much percentage. Maybe he believes 100% what he's saying. I don't know. Gordon Duff at least tells you straight out. He tells you 70-30, 70% truth or 30% garbage or 60-40. At least Duff's honest about it. Mike Adams, he might believe everything he's saying, but you know what? I wouldn't trust him for nothing. Go ahead.
Well, tell us what you really think, Bruce.
Well, I think I did fairly okay there.
I was explaining why I have a certain special affection for Mike Adams, because he was so responsive when the Nobody Died at Sandy Hook was banned. I mean, he really took it to heart. He thought it was outrageous. He did 3 articles about it, including an extended interview with me. So I've always
I agree with you there. Listen, I agree with you there, but what did he report on Parkland? What did he report on Charlottesville? I bet you he's closer to the official narrative to those two items and whatever happened in Texas. and whatever happened at the Onion Festival and whatever happened there. Just because he did help was there on your side with Sandy Hook, he has flip-flopped and a whole bunch of these other things where we have total proof. Like Parkland, that's my favorite because that's the one next to Charlottesville that I really did some really deep digging research on for weeks and weeks and weeks. And I got all sorts of pictures and photo evidence and video and so on and so on. And, you know, for anybody to say, oh, how real that was, it behooves me because that's the one that I could actually stick to my guns on.
Yeah, I love one of the students who was interviewed after the event. She said this. I mean, she said this to the reporter. And while David Hogg was staying beside her, she said, it was like a movie. It looked so real, but it felt so fake.
Right. And now look at
he had it exactly right.
Well, look at today. Who's on Donald Trump's team? Who's on Donald Trump's team? Pam Bondi. And Pam Bondi stood there right next to Sheriff Israel and said how real it was, and there was a manhunt on, and so on and so on and so forth, how horrific it was. Pam Bondi. But yet Donald Trump praises her up and down, and she's part of his legal team and so on and so forth. This is the stuff we got to question. What the hell is going on? Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, so I got a reaction to some of that, quite a bit of it. I totally get where Bruce coming from, and it reminds me of myself, you know, where a lot of times I've taken a hard line. You know, I go, somebody doesn't say anything about this or somebody doesn't know about that, then, you know, forget them. They're not real. And it may not be totally true. So if you can think of the idea of a pie chart, right? So I think human beings are full spectrum. You know, they're like a pie chart. And some of them might – this is what I hold out some small hope for Donald Trump. He's got a lot of troubling things in his past. He's got a lot of very shady associations. They're all documented. They're well known. They're not hidden. He said some things that are cause for concern. Now, on the other hand, I do believe that he is sincerely much more empathetic to the average working American, and he's more than likely to have our best interests at heart than, say, Joe Biden or the Democrats at this juncture. But having said all of that, there's stages of awareness. I've gone through them myself. In other words, not everybody is Jew aware. And probably Jew awareness is the hardest ladder to climb. You know, there's a lot of steps to it. So until you are ascended to a certain height, you're still going to say stuff about, like, the Nazis and Hitler and fascism and all that. Now, after a certain amount of time, there shouldn't be any more forgiveness. Like, you know, Alex Jones being the researcher that he claims to be and even having a staff. He should know. Okay, there shouldn't be any doubt about that. Here's the one thing that I will draw the line on Trump. Let's say he gets into office and now he's got a second term ahead of him. I'm going to have zero tolerance for this COVID hoax. If he does it within the first 30 days is too long. If he does it within the first 10 minutes.
Hold that thought, Paul. We'll pick up there when we get back from this break. We'll be right back.
All right.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes. That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building. Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons in the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11, available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
She
travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and Earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs, but there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played. Check out And Nobody Died in Boston Either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
All right. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And yeah, we're going to get back to your host.
Let me just remind everybody that I'll be changing times and days for this show, that in the future, beginning Wednesday, it'll be Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central. That's noon to 2 Eastern, 9 to 11 a.m. Pacific. That way I can give you updates on the news. We can discuss ongoing events throughout the week rather than have everything front-loaded on Mondays and Tuesdays. I love Revolution Radio. I think we got a great operation going. And let me add, if you missed before, in that same time slot on Tuesdays and Thursday will be Rebecca Carnes, whom I'm just delighted to be associated with. I interviewed her many times in the past. I'm a huge fan, and I recommended her for a show here on Revolution Radio. So bear that in mind. And I would simply add about the False Flags and Conspiracies Conference. If you're interested, there's a 50% discount I'm offering to followers of this show. Just use the code TRD for the raw deal. If you go to falseflagconspiracies2020.com. Remember, as I mentioned, you don't have to watch the whole thing in one fell swoop. What you ought to do is to record it and then pick up the parts that you like in the future, because this is a wonderful assemblage of experts on so many different false flags and conspiracies. It's really an intellectual feast you don't want to miss. Paul, back to you. You were in the midst of an argument or position you wanted to lay out.
Right. Thanks. I mean, it could be a much longer list, but what I was going to say about, you know, Trump getting back in office, which I'm assuming is more than likely going to happen, no matter which way it occurs. I just think that's the way it's going to lay out. And I can't abide by any more nonsense. So, for example, if he talks about, well, you know, Joe Biden, he's good people, and we owe him a debt of gratitude for his 47 years of service, I'm done with him. You know, it'll be another Hillary Clinton moment, right? Where yeah. The whole time was like, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up. And then what, the next day or 2 days later at a dinner? Oh, they're good people. And, you know, we owe them all a debt of gratitude. It's like everything will go back to the same. And at that point, I think that we have to be done with them. Now, of course, regarding the shootings, you know, here's the thing. I think we have here on this show, and I'm guilty of it myself, an expectation that somebody else is going to be in the same neighborhood of awareness we are. And unless you're listening to people like Jim Fetzer, or, you know, Ole Damegard, or some of these other people, how are you going to really know that these shootings are fake? So So I'm willing to give, in some cases, the benefit of the doubt to, you know, some of these politicians who, let's face it, if they're not looking for it, they're not going to find it. And just briefly, I'll mention, you know, on the same line of reasoning, the interaction I had with Jesse Ventura on your show, Jim. I couldn't tell you how aghast I was and how stunned I was when here he, a politician, you know, no, and supposedly an educated guy, making the argument that my liberty ends where his safety concerns begin. And I didn't even really have a chance to address it because he kept talking and he kept talking over me. But the idea that he wouldn't think, as mature as he is and as reasonable a guy as he is, as he seems, and all the knowledge he has about the various conspiracies, I mean, he did a conspiracy show for quite a while on television, that he wouldn't have the mindset that you don't lose any rights because of a virus or anything else. And that's actually a fact, and it's in the law. And the fact that he would not only not know that, but would not think that, I found stunning. So anyway, thanks for that.
Well, look, I was surprised and disappointed myself. I kind of had a hint of it going because when I called him to interview, you know, to invite him to come on the show, I first spoke with his wife, who's very nice, and said something about, I can't believe, you know, this coronavirus and all the nonsense that goes along with it. And she just said, well, I'll get Jesse. And, you know, I could tell Jesse wasn't on the same wavelength. He said something to me about he wasn't sure how it would go over with my audience, you know, what he was going to say, which I interpreted to mean about this. So I saw it coming when I, you know, knew when I put you together that there would be a train wreck, but it was inevitable. I mean, you know, there it is. So I don't fault either side. I mean, I wish Jesse had done more homework on this issue. We all have our own shortcomings. This just happens to be an issue of such enormous magnitude that it would be very good if we all understood the full dimensions of the scam, because they're using this as a cover to take down the entire nation. And it would be great to have Jesse there as a valiant warrior on the right side, if only he knew more.
Yes, and I also was going to tell him, and I never got to it because right away we just got derailed, and I had no idea going in we were going to talk about COVID. I was looking forward to what you had promoted, basically that his opinion about Trump and Biden. I was looking forward to that debate sort of between you and him the first hour, but instead you spent a lot of the time on the Kennedy assassination, which is fine. But I was going to tell Jesse myself, I said, you know, you should run for president because you would win. I mean, if he... Look, even given the current landscape, right, I think that people would prefer somebody like him to Trump if he was to take the same populist positions Trump did. I think he's less objectionable than somebody like Trump. But, you know, we never got to that point where I was going to suggest that. And, of course, you know, he told the story about what party was it, the Green Party that he was going to run with, or –
It may have been. I believe it or not, I actually had written to Jesse way back when did it suggest he run for president and that he run with Cynthia McKinney. And
that'd be great.
You know, there it is. I think these things are very circumstantial, very dependent on timing and all that. And I would say Jesse's moment for such aspirations is past, but he's made a lot of wonderful contributions on many different levels, you know, to our society. So I still revere him and hold him in high esteem while acknowledging his shortcomings.
Well, I will say this. I was heartened by the fact that at least according to my email and according to the comments on BitChute where the show was posted, that nobody was in his favor, and basically people were, you know, kind of surprised and at the same time, you know, condemning, you know, what he said and the way that he said it.
Yeah, well, I think that's right. I think most of the followers of this show are very much aware not only about the massive fraud of this election, but about the coronavirus I mean, look how much time and effort we devote to it. I think we all have a pretty good understanding, and it's simply not going to be true of every guest that I would feature on the show. Jesse and I go so far back, and it had so much to do with JFK that I felt really, and it was in such close proximity to the 57th observance of the assassination that it was a very appropriate point of departure. And, you know, there was a lot of interesting stuff about it when you told us the story about Predator and Ain't Got Time to Bleed and all that stuff. I mean, that was a classic cinematic moment, you know. I mean, that's an episode that resounds in the annals of Hollywood. So there it is.
And by the way, just quick before you bring Brew back on something, it was kind of funny. I was going to say, did you know that just 2 days or so prior to that show, I had watched that clip of you and he together, and he was test firing the Mannlicher Carcano rifle trying to hit the target.
You watched his short show on JFK. That's the best short one I think out there, actually.
It was a happenstance where I bumped into it as like a link from a link from a site, you know, one of those things. Uh-huh. And it was just a couple days prior to your show. I didn't really think it was worth mentioning on the show, but yeah, just that was fresh in my mind because I remember watching him trying to make the shots and he couldn't do it. The closest he got was like 6 seconds or something, and he only had one hit. So that was interesting.
Yeah, we did three replications of three shots. He couldn't do any of them in the time frame, and of the nine shots fired, he only got one hit. And that was with stationary targets. And he had a much better Mannlicher Carcano, and he's a much better shot. But, of course, the whole thing was a total fraud, just like the coronavirus is a fraud, just like the election is a fraud. You begin to think when you start taking apart that most of recent American history is totally fraudulent, considering it includes the moon landing, JFK, 9/11, Sandy Hook, Boston bombings, Parkland, Charlottesville, Las Vegas. I mean, it's overwhelming how much we're battered and bruised by psychodramas that are complete bullshit. Unbelievable. Brew, come back in. Brew.
Yeah, they all contribute so much, whether it be Jesse Ventura, Mike Adams, Alex Jones. They all contribute so much until the day they don't. You don't know where all of a sudden you find out what they all of a sudden take a hard line on. Jesse will agree with you all day. Oh, lone gunman? Yeah. You know, we got 60 years and many people reviewing this stuff going on with JFK and so on. And then you could say Las Vegas. Oh, yeah, Las Vegas is fishy, blah, blah, blah. But then all of a sudden they might get to Parkland and take a hard line. Oh, Jim, I don't agree with you. Oh, my gosh, that was really bad for Broward County and all that. You don't know what they're contributing to until they don't. So all of a sudden, what is it they take a hard line with? Now we just find out with Jesse. I didn't listen to that show, so I don't know if he went into Charlottesville, Parksville, Parkland, whatever. But who knows what he would have been pushed back on you on. But now we have the mass. Now, how much deep research do you really have to do just for the basic fundamentals of the mask? And it comes down to pretty much simplicity. Why do doctors and dentists and nurses wear masks when they're around a patient? So they don't spittle on people. Not because they're going to breathe on you and pass some nasty virus on you like HIV or COVID or the flu or the cold. It's so they don't spittle on open wounds. And then we all know that a mask only stops so many microns, but you know, it won't stop smoke. It won't stop your breath. We know that it hurts. It'll hurt you. You're breathing in your own exhaust, and the masks get wet, and it causes the bacterial fungus on the lungs and all that. And we know that people don't properly wear the masks, and they're always touching their faces after touching the doorknob, touching cash, touching a counter, shaking somebody's hand, and they're touching their face afterward. But how much deep research does Jesse Ventura, 11 months into this thing, have to really do?
Yeah, Brew, you make an interesting point in passing, which is that the wearing of the mask can actually induce a form of bacterial infection in your lungs that is virtually impossible to get rid of. So, I mean, the health hazards from wearing masks are overwhelmingly greater than the benefits. I don't see a single discernible benefit, apart from your observation during surgery, to keep spittle from affecting a wound or an opening in a body that's subject to surgery, because I mean, we got that whole article there with all the studies about the relevance of mass in surgery. Really, that was fascinating to me because it came as totally unexpected.
Right. And Jim, you know, what's interesting too, and Bruce, so if you haven't heard that show, I would, it's a pretty good show. I would suggest to go listen to it. I have a little bit more than, you know, zero tolerance for people like, say, Jesse Ventura, but I was just shocked that, because you remember probably pretty well, Jim, where he talked about the fact that, you know, essentially when there's a potential for his, you know, health or safety to be in jeopardy, that my rights would end there, you know, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so you ever heard of Ben Franklin, right? You know, that famous saying, it was like, that was the most shocking thing to me. You know, whether somebody spent any time researching the mask, you know, look, what we're dealing with here when we look around at people is they don't spend much time looking into anything. They just live their lives. They cash their checks. They go to the store. You know, what's for dinner tonight? And, you know, I kind of get it. You know, I don't totally condemn people for being that way. However, when it comes to trying to, say, restrict or infringe on other people's rights because of something that you believe but you have no evidence, that's the thing that boggles my mind, is the fact that we're not really presented with any evidence about this virus. It's just they tell us. That's all it is. They just tell us, and we believe it.
Oh, I think you both made such excellent points about it. No, I get it. I agree. I understand completely. Go ahead.
No, so you watched the Operation Warp Speed starring Mike Pence, Deborah Birx, Fauci, the general that was going to distribute all the vaccines, the national psychiatrist. Each one of those people were wearing masks prior to walking up to the podium to give their segment of the propaganda. Well, each one of them walked up to the podium, took their mask off, gave their speech, spittled all over the podium. The next person, then they walked off. The next person came up, took their mask off, put their mask on top of the podium where the next person in front of them just spittled on and whatever else, touched it, and then took their mask and walked away. The next person came up, did the same thing, put their mask on the podium. So this is how these are the health experts. These are the people who are supposed to be in charge of something that's so devastating, and we're protecting ourselves by wearing masks. But every person stood at that podium, gave some sloppy speech with spit coming out of their mouth, like I am right now, because I'm so infuriated, and then put their mask on top of it and walked off.
Rue, you know, great points. It's hilarious. It is. It's a farce.
You want to have another laugh, Jim? I may have mentioned this before, and I don't know if Rue heard of it, but I swear to God, this is true. Early on in this thing, back when I was working for Safeway, and guys were starting to wear a mask before it was quote unquote mandatory. You know, as you may know, I recounted my personal experience a few days after they made the mask mandatory. I was out of that place, but yeah, there was a guy, you know, and he was talking about how, you know, the mask was a little uncomfortable, but you know, overall, he kind of believed it was necessary. And I just made the point to him. I go, look, you know, you're absorbing a lot of your CO2 back in your system. Not a good thing. And plus you're exhaling this oral bacteria. So the masks are not going to be sanitary after, you know, more than a few hours of use. And he goes, oh, no, I sterilize it, or I spray Lysol on it every night. I go, what? He goes, yeah, you know, I spray Lysol. And I go, oh, my God. I didn't do much more after that except walk away shaking my head.
Because then he's breathing Lysol into his
lungs. Yeah, no. Imagine the stupidity of doing something like that. But this is what we're dealing with. And, you know, some people you can talk to and reason with. Others you just cannot. And, you know, what can be said about it?
You and Bruce are both very aware of what goes on and very analytic and discerning, and most Americans, alas, are not.
Hey,
no matter what age, even if I was 18 or 19 or 20, I don't think I would ever be spraying Lysol into a mask and then breathing it in the next day.
Yeah, not a risk to do.
What happened in 1917 in Russia was not a revolution from the Bolsheviks. It was an invasion. They actually were guests in that country, and Tsar Nicholas was, you know, a Christian, the defender of Christianity. You had your heritage Russians and so on and so forth. And then they had the Khazars and all the Bolshevik, you know, kind of developing their Marxism and their communism. And they wanted to take over the country because that's what they do. It's a disease. That is the real plague. And it's plague throughout history. So what they ended up doing, they it was an invasion and a takeover. It was not a revolution, because what they did is they went into that country and they infected them, just like they're doing, just like they did in Germany, and just like they do doing here in, been doing in the United States for decades. We invited them in this country, and they've infected. They're in our bureaucracy. They're in our politics. They're on your city councils. They're on your boards of education. They print the darn books, and they're in the media. They have all of it. It's been a Bolshevik thing. They've just been doing delicately. Now they're ready for the full-on takeover. Now, what? Now with the COVID and the masks and whatever, this now I consider low-hanging fruit, because the real threat, these are just – COVID's a weapon. The weapon they unleashed, whether it be mostly propaganda and whatever, and a real thing is as it is, but, you know, I'm not going to get into all that, as the weapon. And then accessories to that weapon is the social distancing, the masks and whatever. And these are accessory in form of techniques to torture us, because these are torture techniques, and they're wearing us down into submission to get us used to what is coming next and next and next, because they've already announced that none of this stuff is going away. The lockdowns are not going away. They got it labeled on their trucks. They're doing TV commercials. Wear it. They're not going backwards, trying to tell us to wash our hands. It's not you, Jim, or Paul, or me, or Mitchell, or a lot of these heritage people in Canada, or whatever, that are white, we'll just say, heritage Canadians, heritage Americans, that need to be taught how to wash their hands. It's all the migrants from the third world countries that don't have running water and sewage and so forth, that wipe their hands with their butts with their hands and don't know how to use toilet paper and poop on the floor and wipe their stuff in water fountains and so other stuff. Those are the people that need the message. And that is really kind of what's dirty, what's been going on in these countries. But the bottom line is, this is a communism thing, Marxism. This is the takeover. And as far as Trump goes right now, I want to trust the guy in all the might and whatever. But you know what? We're still looking at wings of the same bird. Okay, he's the softer velvet glove, because he's not pulling away from any of this stuff. The great, you think it's the vaccine, but the great reset is the big finale here. That's what this is all about. Again, the weapon is the COVID, the masks and whatever, the techniques for the torture, and it gets you into submission. But they're all preparing us for the big, great reset. Meanwhile, people are going into poverty. People are losing their homes. They're starving. They're malnourished. Right. They're so on. You know, they don't have activity. They're not getting in the sunlight. They're not exercising by working and all this other stuff. It's all a big agenda. And pretty, you know, what's the big point of the great reset? You're going to own nothing and you're going to like it. Okay. And this is where it's all, that's the big thing. So low hanging fruit is the COVID. You guys got to move on. I'm moving on to the next level. I'm going to start going after this the way it is.
You're saying move on, but come on, that's what we got right now in front of us. I mean, people are not going to fight against future goals. I mean,
and you've had 11 months.
Well, I know, but here's the thing. I mean, look, we got to do incrementally what they're doing incrementally to us. So the bottom line is, you know, this mask thing, I agree with what David Knight on InfoWars said probably back in, I want to say May or June, when he said, this is the hill to die on. And after that, he went on a 20-minute rant.
Yeah.
I agree with him. Okay, this mask thing, this is why I'm so adamant. Because in my opinion, this is the major conditioning exercise that I have ever seen that's affecting everybody. It has affected my personal life in many ways, including employment, okay, including friends and acquaintances. I could tell far more stories than I've ever told on the air. I'll just give you a quick example. When I saw this fight on Saturday night, there was four of the people there. I was the fifth, okay? So out of the other four people in the room, two of them had already taken COVID tests, one of them because his employment had demanded it, okay? And they described the nature of the swab going way up there in the nasal. And every single person in this room, all five of us, they all thought it was all bullshit. But they're doing it, okay? The other guy took a COVID test because of something work-related, and he just decided he wanted to know whether he was positive or not, all right? So, and here's the other thing I found interesting. Once I told them, of course, once I started talking, I kind of took over because I was far more informed than all of them. And my friend who invited me, he kind of saw it coming, so he knew. Well, I mentioned about the fact that I don't wear a mask when I go into stores, and I just go and get what I want, do what I want. They all looked at me like, really? Like, how do you do that?
And I was kind of shocked because these were all men. Okay. And I said to him, I go, what do you mean? How do I just do it? I just walk in. I go, doesn't anybody ever hassle you? Don't you get, you know, I said, well, of course that happens, but you'd be surprised 70% of the time. And that would be the low figure. 70% or more of the time, nobody says nothing. And the other times I just deal with it. Whatever they say, I just handle it. And I went through a little routine with them. You know, I said, okay, I ask them, is this a law? Is it your policy? And most of the time I'll get one or the other or both. And then I'll say, okay, fine. So if it's your policy to discriminate against me, let's go ahead and have you do that. We'll get it on the record, and then we'll see what comes of it. And multiple times people, oh, it's okay. I mean, Starbucks, oh, it's okay. You can have coffee.
Okay, well, that's all I have to add do. Add this to your arsenal.
Yeah.
Start sending them out PDF copies of The Great Reset. I actually got Bruce McDonald to cover that in his Revolution Radio morning show. He's doing The Great Reset. It started today. So he's covering The Great Reset by Klaus and the Economic Forum. And he's going over it. But you send out a PDF of that. He's like, wear the mask. Go ahead. Social distance. Do whatever you want. Don't listen to me. Read the book. And in that book, they're going to see the tyranny and the horror that lies ahead of them. For them, their children, and their grandchildren, et cetera. This is going to be something that's going to be, we're not going to be able to pull out of this because we've been surrounded and we're in trouble. Go ahead.
And yeah. I agree with that. There's only so much material I can carry with me. I believe me, I come loaded for bear most of the time when I walk in a place with a clipboard. And a lot of places I go now, they know me, so it's no big deal. I don't go that many new places. But I have been places just to test, you know, just to pick a fight. Now, who does that? How many people would even think to do that? Very few, if any. Just like the reason I mentioned this story is all these guys in the room, you know, it just hadn't even occurred to them to just walk in like a man without a mask and just assume, you know, just assume you're going to do it without a problem. And if the problem comes up, you just deal with it. And it's like they looked at me like, well, wow, how do you do that? It's like it just seems like at some point in time, you know, I don't know what the percentage was, but the percentage of men with backbone has dropped precipitously in this country. And I know they're out there, but it just seems like it's few and far between.
Okay, I'm out of here, Jim. Thanks for having me. This Wednesday, I'm going to be covering my points on communism on High Noon Revolution Radio Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern.
Brew, you and Paul were just wonderful. I was so pleased to listen to this exchange. It was just sensational. And I think you both got it right. And, you know, would that the rest of the world should catch up, because I agree with you. This is a bottom line issue. This has to do with the fate of the nation. This has to do with our children, our children's children, and our posterity. They're all at risk. These monsters want to take over America. They want to use COVID as a mechanism, and it's totally fraudulent. And I say, if Joe Biden is inaugurated on 20 January, brace yourself, because all bets are off. It will be the beginning of the new civil war. I have no doubt. Thanks for being here. Remember, I'll be back tomorrow, but then the schedule will change to Wednesday, Friday, Monday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. See you tomorrow.
Thanks.
Thank you for listening to Revolution.